Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Might check.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you may be, however you may be tuning in to the Blog Talk Radio airwaves, the Blog Talk Radio Network here. I am one of your hosts, Joe Monax. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am flying solo again this week. Brandon Connor not able to make it to this evening recording. Hopefully we'll have Brandon back on next week's show. But no shame in my game. Happy to still be here hosting GBB Live and excited to talk with our guests this evening about all things Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, we've got Summer League going on. The Baby Grizzlies are 3-0 out in Vegas. They're the number 4 seed, I believe, in the Summer League playoffs, the tournament that they do after the 3 games that they play, quote-unquote regular season or whatever you want to call that, the 3 games leading up to the tournament. So the Grizzlies will start that on Thursday. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Tyreke Evans coming home. We'll talk about updated Western Conference standings, all sorts of fun things with our guest tonight, Mark King. But before we get to all that, ways to get in touch with the show, you can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live if you so choose. That would be great. We're making an announcement at the end of this of tonight's show, regarding our Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network. So I would highly recommend that you follow us there so you can get updates on things like that news-wise. You could also follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax, J-O-E-M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. I am the site manager for Grizzly Bear Blues of SB Nation NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies fan site. So follow me there. You can follow my co-host, Brandon Connor, again, not able to be with us tonight, at Ball From Grace. And, of course, you can follow our blog, SB Nation NBA's Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies. Lots to get to. I do want to touch on the Tyreke Evans signing first. And I think that is when Ben McLemore was signed, I was not necessarily as high on that move as maybe others were, mostly because of the way that the money was spent. It really limited the Grizzlies with what they could do with that mid-level exception. Now that they have added Tyreke Evans on such a value deal, I think that's massive, and I don't think it necessarily matters if he starts or if he comes off the bench. He's going to get roughly 20 to 25 minutes a game regardless. I think I like him more as a sixth man, and the main reason I like Tyreke returning to Memphis, obviously he was a Memphis Tiger in his college days. The reason I like Tyreke in that role is because he's kind of that Swiss Army knife. He fits all sorts of different roles for the Grizzlies. He's not a knockdown three-point shooter like maybe you would want, but at the same time, Memphis has several of those types of players already. They need guys that can create. They need guys that can move off the dribble and get to the basket and penetrate and kick out and do those sorts of things. Memphis does not have a ton of those guys. In the starting lineup, assuming Chandler Parsons is healthy, you got Marc Gasol as well. You have some guys who can maybe not create off the dribble, but they can create for others in other ways. Second unit, Andrew Harrison, you know, I mean, James Ennis, Troy Daniels, you know, Wayne Selden, you know, whoever it may be on the wing, you don't have a ton there. So I think whether it's out of the point guard position, the shooting guard position, the small forward position, Tyreke Evans is a great addition to this Grizzlies team. He allows for Mike Conley to play off the ball more. He can shoot the ball. Mike can a little bit more freely. He can be that scorer, as he showed he's capable of doing in David Fizdale's offense. I think that's a good fit, and I really like the value on Tyreke. Obviously, only a one-year deal, kind of a show-me contract, but a little more than $3 million for Tyreke Evans, a guy, former Rookie of the Year, clearly a talent if he can stay healthy. The Grizzlies are already the if-healthy All-Stars anyway, so we'll talk to our guest, Mark King, when he comes on the line, about the addition of Tyreke Evans and what that means for Memphis. And then we'll also talk to him about the Summer League. And cautiously optimistic about the Summer League because the Summer League really doesn't mean a ton. Josh Selby is a great example of that, former Summer League MVP who is certainly not in the league anymore, the association. But there have been some good things to point out with this 3-0 Grizzlies roster. And Mark, again, Mark King, our video editor over at Grizzly Bear Blues, he also does video work for SB Nation NBA. He is going to be on, and he was in Las Vegas covering those games for us. Hopefully you follow him already on Twitter, and you've been able to see the work that he's done for GBB out in Vegas. Pretty cool what he was able to do, and he got great video and great insights onto what the team was doing. And aside from Wayne Selden, who Wayne Selden should be dominating people, he's a main roster guy, just signed a 2-year guaranteed contract. Wayne Selden's an NBA player. He should be dominating some of these summer league games where he's playing against other guys that probably aren't going to be in the league. But then you've got the other pieces like a Jarrell Martin who haven't been as solid. He had a good second game, but games 1 and 3 were kind of a mess for Jarrell. You've got guys like Deontay Davis, who is still a defensive hound dog. He's tremendous in terms of what he's able to do on the glass. I think he's a solid rebounder, but he is still limited offensively, and that kind of limits what he's able to do for you on the team. And if you're looking at this roster now with Vince Carter gone, with Zach Randolph gone, with Tony Allen presumably gone, there's minutes to be had. Now, Ben McLemore's probably coming in to be the starter, and Tyreke Evans probably coming in to be that sixth man. But especially in the front court, and especially at the big position, you know, it's Marc Gasol, presumably Jamichael Green. If he returns to Memphis, he likely will, it sounds like. Once everything goes down, it might take a little while. But anyway, beyond those two, the minutes are wide open in the front court. You have Brandon Wright, but he's an unproven health commodity, which is half the Grizzlies roster at this point. Excuse me. You've got Deontay Davis, who we mentioned earlier. You've got all sorts of different players. There's playing time to be had in that front court. There's room for a fourth big. And I don't see any of the bigs, Deontay Davis being a good candidate because he's young and has the potential to develop these skills. But Jarrell Martin is another example of a guy who, and to me, he has less of an excuse because Jarrell Martin has been in the NBA now. He's on his third season. You know, he is not as young as Deontay. He's not as unseasoned as Wade Baldwin. To me, there's more built-in reasons for those younger players to struggle. Jarrell Martin has had 2 full seasons as a part of the Memphis Grizzlies. He should be more complete at this point, at least in my belief. And we will bring in at that point with that comment on Jarrell Martin. I just mentioned that he was at Summer League for us at Grizzly Bear Blues. He did a great job covering. He is our video editor. He also is a video editor for SB Nation NBA. The main reason he was out there was doing some work for the main site, but he squeezed in some GBB goodies as well. This is Mark King. Mark, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, anytime. You did an awesome job out in Las Vegas. And again, this is a good opportunity to talk to somebody who saw it in the flesh. You know, I watched the 3 games on television, but you were there live witnessing the various Grizzly. I was just talking about, Mark, the different, you know, the 4 holdovers from the roster last season that are playing. Wayne Selden, obviously having a great summer league. We can talk more about him in a little bit, but I think he's the one guy that if the Grizzlies said for the tournament, you know what, Wayne, we're shutting you down. You're done. I'd be cool with that. I don't think he needs to show anything else. To me, the guy who needs to show the most or needed to show the most going into this thing was Jarrell Martin, and he had a good second game, but his first game and his third game just were not that solid. So as good as Wayne Selden has been, I am that hesitant to say that Jarrell Martin might even be on this team come October.
Yeah, Jarrell, yeah, most definitely. Jarrell is the one that you would really want to see the most from. He's been, I think I heard you mention he's already had 2 complete seasons. But anyway, you know, he's the one that you really, you think would know better and have a better idea of what they expect from him, of what they want him to do on the court, especially being out there against guys that are, you know, guys that are not going to be on, a lot of those guys are not going to be in NBA rosters at the end of this year. And so, you know, that's the most concerning part. I know people say we always can't draw conclusions from Summer League, but you know, you want your best players to kind of dominate, because you're playing against the guys that, you know, are not really NBA quality players. And so Jarrell was good that second game. He was aggressive. The third game, he was aggressive too. He missed a lot of shots, but he did go to the basket, you know, but he still struggles defensively. He still really struggles in the rotation defensively. And so, you know I talked to Coach Ciprian after one of the games, and they said that they, you know, his big role and what they want him to do is be able to shoot the ball really well and kind of step out into that three-point kind of role and shoot the ball a little further. And he just really struggles with that. He's got a good mid-range shot, but it seems like he's very uncomfortable stepping out any further. And that's kind of what they want him to do. And I think that's what he has to do to be able to be on the NBA floor. You know, the days of being able to just do one thing really well, that doesn't happen anymore. You have to do multiple things quite well. And so he doesn't look comfortable shooting that NBA three. And so I think that's one thing they're looking from him. And like I said, he struggled. Even in the game that he played really well, he still struggled defensively against other matchups. So,
and it's important to keep in mind, again, the main reason that I feel the way about Jarrell Martin, it sounds like you're the same way, Mark, he's had a longer time to work with NBA coaching, with NBA strength trainers, with, you know, specific shooting coaches that are Grizzlies-centric that want them to execute scheme. Now, obviously, there was a coaching change, and David Fizdale is more interested in the big shooting threes than maybe Dave Yeager was. But at the same time, there should be more development there. I feel like Jarrell is roughly the same player that he was when he came out of college, and that's a problem. I don't necessarily see the value in keeping him around, especially when you have the potential of Deontay Davis, when you have small ball four type players like Rade Zagorak, obviously still a ways off, but could potentially eventually be that kind of guy. The future just isn't with Jarrell Martin. And if you need to clear roster space anyway, I would be okay with it being a Jarrell Martin move. The two guys that are kind of in between, we already talked about Wayne Selden. Again, he's been a monster at Summer League. Tremendous stats, tremendous performances from him. And he's shown that he could compete not just for minutes with the Memphis Grizzlies, but also for the starting role. Now, I think that's kind of cinched in for Ben McLemore at this point. But at the same time, Wayne Selden is going to make them think, or at least going to come into camp thinking he has that potential and that opportunity to compete. And he should. I think he's, you know, you can't earn it in Summer League, but he was called upon in the Spurs series, and he did some good things there in the playoffs this past season. I think there's value in what he has done. And then, again, you give credit where it's due for point scoring and his ability to create off the dribble. He has done a good job shooting the three as well. It's just an all-around impressive performance from Wayne Selden, so we can get your take on him as well. But the main two guys that I want to focus on are Wade Baldwin and Deontay Davis, because they're coming into their second year. They're true second-year players, still both relatively young, not just for the NBA, but for the world at this point. And when it comes to Wade, you know, there's been a lot of bluster on Twitter and in the blogosphere and all that stuff about him not being very good. Is he good? You know, I think people are a little overly hard on Wade, and you saw it in person, so I'm interested in your take on Wade Baldwin. And then when it comes to Deontay Davis, you and I have talked about this, the lack of an offensive game. You know, the coaches wanted him to be a rim runner, getting off on the pick and roll and getting to the basket, but he didn't show that a ton in Summer League, at least not to this point. So what are your takeaways with Wade Baldwin and Deontay Davis watching them the first three games of Summer League?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll start off with actually Wayne Selden just for a minute, and I won't say much about him because, you know, I know that we have said, including myself, that if he packs up and goes home, we'd be okay with that. But I think it's important for him to continue to get minutes, especially against competition where he can dominate and get his confidence up. It's important for him to continue to play games out there, even though, you know, we saw a little bit from him last year, but it wasn't all good. And so, you know, he knows he can shoot the ball. And having that confidence coming up Summer League to know you dominated it, you played every game, maybe you win MVP, those type of things. It's not a big thing, but it does go a little bit. And Wayne Selden has shown a tremendous leap, and he shoots the ball really well. So as far as the starting slot, it would not surprise me in any at all if Wayne Selden was starting at the two guard. I think he might be a better shooter than Ben. I haven't watched a ton of Ben, just him for being on the Kings, but just the eye test, his shot looks technically better. As far as Wade is concerned, the good promising thing about Baldwin is that he's gotten better, progressively better every game. He wasn't really good at all the first game. The second game he was good. Third game he was good. So like he's continually getting better. He still shows that he can drive the basket. He can't drive to his right hand, which he's gonna have to, try to either fix that or teams will pick up on that very quickly. They're not obviously doing it in summer league, but once you get into the regular season, they'll know that going into the game. So he'll have to fix that. But the other biggest thing is court vision and kind of his basketball IQ at the moment. You know, where he drives and what he does when he gets into his drive, he's not always entirely sure what he's going to do when it gets there to that spot. So you see a lot of times he passes out of a shot, or he simply just passes in the lane in general, kind of over his shoulder or back, the other way. And a lot of those end up being turnovers. He telegraphs his passes pretty easily too. So that's his big. I think that's his big knockoff that we've always seen though is that he has the turnovers. I think last game he had 5 assists, but he had 5 turnovers. That's a push at the very end. So that doesn't help you. So I think his offense is there. I think he can him driving the ball is the best version of Wade Baldwin, getting to the basket and attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line. But, he has to be able to understand when he gets in a lane, he has to have a decision of what he's going to do before he gets there. And so a lot of times he doesn't really do that. As far as Deontay is concerned, he didn't look good in any game. The first game, sure, he had lots of rebounds. But, again, the days of just doing one thing in the NBA are gone. You can't just be a good rebounder. That's not going to happen. It doesn't work. I mean, even you look at someone like Draymond Green, who's a great rebounder, but at least he – will take a 3-point shooter. He doesn't always make the shots, but at least he's a threat. These people know he will take an open shot. And Deontay, even when he's open, he doesn't even look at the rim. Like, it doesn't even come remotely close to him making a shot. He looks to pass first, looks to dribble second, and then he's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to shoot it. And he throws sometimes a bad shot. But a lot of times he's not even shooting the ball. I don't know how the stats in front of me. I just got off a plane. But, like, I would be surprised if he took more than 12 shots in all three games combined. I talked to Cyprian after one of those games too, and he said the exact same thing you said, is that they want Deontay to be a rim runner, but every time they put him in the pick and roll, he doesn't run to the rim. He just kind of jogs to the rim. He doesn't really break to the rim like he's supposed to. And so if he's not going to do that, then, there's not a whole lot for him. If he's not going to be a rim runner kind of pick and roll, Brandon Wright-esque kind of guy in that form, or he's not going to offensive rebound and go straight back up with him and score points off offensive rebounds, there's no place for him in the NBA.
Deontay Davis attempted 13 shots in the first three games of the Summer Leagues. That's roughly 4 shots a game, a little more than 4 shots a game. I've been disappointed in his offense. And like I said before, I think defensively he clearly has skills. As a rebounder, he clearly has the ability to be able to clean the glass, but that won't necessarily be good enough. Like you said, the NBA is not a land of just being able to do one thing and doing it well. If you're going to do only one thing, you need to be elite at it, and he is not an elite rebounder, at least not yet. He's not an elite defensive player, at least not yet, and this in no way, shape, or form means I want to give up on Deontay. I'm just saying, if we're hoping that he's going to be the fourth big off the bench, I'm not quite sure he's ready for that. Wade Baldwin is confusing to me because I watched the games, a couple of them on delay, and I'm reading through my Twitter feed. And like I mentioned, a lot of people were just hating on Wade Baldwin, and I didn't understand it, Mark. He clearly, the turnovers are a massive problem, massive. And I think if that is your main leading critique of him, I can get on board with that. Because as you said, if you have 5 assists and 5 turnovers, you essentially have washed it out. And especially if you're going to be the backup point guard, which right now Andrew Harrison is still that, and he didn't do a bad job this past year. But at the same time, if you are looking for an upgrade there and you're hoping Wade Baldwin can kind of step into that role, he's not there because he can't protect possessions. If you can't protect the basketball as a backup point guard, you're in real trouble. And that has been his major issue in the summer league. Do you see a scenario, and we'll talk more about Tyreke Evans here in a moment, Do you see a scenario where Wade Baldwin could supplant anybody at this point, or do you think he's going to kind of be stuck to the end of the bench, or maybe even go down to Memphis Hustle for a little bit and play some games down there?
Yeah, as it stands right now, I don't foresee him getting into the rotation. I still see him getting into bench minutes, or like you said, getting time with the Hustle. And like you said, if you're going to be the primary ball handler on the court, and you're going to have the ball in your hands, you know, most of the time when it's out there, you can't give away possession. And that's something in the NBA that you have to value every time you get on the court. You only get so many. You have to value everyone. You hear coaches say that all the time because it's the truth. And so if you're gonna do that, you can't give away possessions. The only other knock on Wade is his basketball IQ on defense is good, but his foot speed on defense is not good enough. If that makes sense, like his foot speed laterally moving is not very quick, and so he gets beat off. Gets crossed over a little bit. More than you'd like to see. But that's something that's, I don't know, is fixable, but it's definitely, you can get it better. That's for sure. With time in the NBA, with coaches, just practice, that will get better eventually. But, you know, like I said, the turnovers is a thing. Is just, that's one of those things where I think it's just repetition. It's getting more minutes and getting quality minutes, whether that's in the D League or whether that's with the main team. That's just getting more minutes and putting him in the situations where he has to make those type of decisions in real game situations. And that's not going to come with kind of a practice scenario. Those are going to come with real minutes, real game situations.
We're talking with Mark King at King Producer, King_Producer on Twitter, excuse me. He is the video editor for GBB. He was out at the Vegas Summer League watching these young Grizzlies rumble a little bit out to their 3-0 mark. Make sure you're following him, like I said, at King_Producer. He's done a great job for GBB, both with videos and written stuff over the past few days. Mark, I kind of want to get your take now, and no disrespect to the other guys. You know, Vince Hunter is one of my personal favorites. I hope that he'll be the other two-way contract guy, but it's possible, you know, Ivan Rabb or Dylan Brooks or, you know, somebody along those lines might slide into that role. But the new Grizzlies, because we were talking about the holdovers there for a little bit. We talked about Rade Zagorak, or I mentioned Rade Zagorak, Ivan Rabb, who didn't play at all because of his ankle, Dylan Brooks. Those players, Kobe Simmons, who is the first two-way contract for the Memphis Hustle between them and the Grizzlies, of those players that are new to the roster and figure to be in the plans, whether they were draft picks or just unsigned two-way guys, who impressed you the most and who do you think has a lot to work on?
I really liked Kobe Simmons. I know that's kind of crazy because he's a two-way contract, but I really, really like Kobe. His court vision is exceptional. His passing ability is exceptional. He's got a long way to go. Don't get me wrong, and don't take that out of context. He's got a long way to go. He's not an NBA basketball player just yet, but I think that he's got a future. He doesn't have a great shot, but it's not bad. I mean, it's average. But he showed that he attacks the basket without regard, because he's a very tiny human. I was very unaware how small he was until I saw him on the court standing right next to him. He's not much taller than me, and he's very, very skinny. So he's got to put the muscle on him. Even being that small, though, he attacks the basket with kind of reckless abandon, and you like to see that, even from really tiny players. So I think couple that with that is passing ability. I really like the future of him. I think being down in the D League for a year will do him wonders. Dylan Brooks, I actually talked with one of our guys from the Blazers Edge for quite a while about Dylan. He actually works for Oregon and saw him play for a long time. And Dylan is he just didn't stand out those first two games. He just didn't do anything that was like super impressive. And then the third game, he kind of went off, but they were sagging off him a lot. I mean, they just really weren't playing him. And he took the shot. And then once he got going with a few threes, he just started attacking the basket and started just going to the basket every time, he was looking for a shot, which I like that. So Dylan and Kobe probably impressed me the most. Dylan not so much in the first two games, but if he can continue to do what he did in the third game, you know, that's a different story. So the other players, I mean, beyond that, you know, there wasn't much there to really talk about. Obviously, Ivan Rabb didn't play. Like I said, Vince Hunter was you know, he's a summer league vet, you know, so and he's a summer league veteran from Minnesota. I don't really have a two-way contract. Now, they might bring him into the Hustle just as an affiliate contract. And there's several different levels they can use to pay players with those type of contracts. But yeah, beyond Kobe and Dylan, there wasn't too much that impressed me.
What about Rade Zagorak? Now, he hasn't been overly impressive,
yeah.
But he showed flashes of at least understanding of offensive passing lanes and things like that. He clearly needs to adjust to the speed of the game here. But how do you feel about Rade, who now reportedly has signed his contract and will be on this Grizzlies roster this year and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good contract for Rade. You know, the Grizzlies wanted to lock him up for, 3 years at least. For a very minimum investment for them. So if he does turn out to be great, it's awesome. And if he's nothing, then they can cut him for no consequence, really. So that's a good deal for them. But Rade, you know, the biggest thing with him is he just looked him and Deontay had the same look out there. They looked scared. They looked very overwhelmed. And so Rade just didn't have the foot speed to keep up with guys. He got beat off the dribble so many times. It was just – I kept saying it on Twitter. I kept feeling like I was saying the same thing over and over while I was tweeting about the game. But this was the truth.
He struggled. He definitely struggled. Hopefully, with some time, he'll be able to learn those defensive angles and be a little bit smarter with how he can overcompensate for not having that foot speed that some of the other NBA players have, of course. Moving on from the Summer League, and again, you did a tremendous job covering. Obviously, the Grizzlies continue play. They play on Thursday, I believe, at about 7 o'clock Eastern or 7 o'clock Central, something like that. They play Thursday in that tournament. Some of the players that we watched and saw, they obviously are all playing for end of the bench. They're just trying to make sure they're on the roster. Tyreke Evans is a new signing for the Memphis Grizzlies. I was talking about him at the beginning of the show as you were coming on. I am pretty excited about Tyreke being a Grizzly. I think he's kind of a Swiss Army knife for that second unit. He can play alongside Mike Conley. He can help create off the dribble for spot-up shooters like Troy Daniels, Chandler Parsons, Marcus Ohl. You name it, he can do it. If he can stay healthy, and this Grizzlies team is that, if healthy, all-stars already, so why not? Especially considering the contract, 1 year, $3.3 million, I think it was. You're really not dealing with a ton of risk, and it kind of shows Chris Wallace's MO of continuing to try to find guys who fit the needs of the team, but at the same time aren't going to break the bank, aren't necessarily going to command massive amounts of money because the Grizzlies are pretty cash-strapped as it is. They are players that can help this team, especially Tyreke. I'm pretty excited about that signing, especially considering it's essentially no risk at all. If he isn't as good, you still got Andrew Harrison. You still got the same bench wings that you've had in the past. Obviously, you don't have Vince Carter anymore. But at the same time, you've got those younger players that you're hoping can develop. Tyreke Evans is a guy who can really make a difference for these Grizzlies if he's able to stay on the court.
Yeah, you know, like you said, the money they signed him to is a great deal for them. So there's not a whole lot of risk involved, but you know, Tyreke's an interesting player. You know, because he has health issues, but before those, you know, we're talking about Rookie of the Year. I mean, Tyreke has done a lot in his time in the NBA, and he shot the ball actually really, really well for the Pelicans last year before he got traded. Like, he was shooting the ball. I mean, I can't remember. I think it was like a 38% clip or something like from three, something like that from three, which is really quite impressive. And you've seen Tyreke's game kind of adapt over the years, and I think this may be because of his injuries. I don't know, but you've seen him. I would just say driving less, but not driving the basket as much as he did in his first couple years, and then taking more perimeter shots. So that's kind of what you want for him. But he can get buckets. I mean, that's what Tyreke does. And there's no qualms about it. He's going to go and get you buckets, and that's exactly what you need off the bench. I mean, you're thinking you got to look at replacing Zach's like 13 points off the bench or something like that. I mean, someone's got to do it. And so I think you'll see with him, they'll probably bring him in a little earlier than normal on the second unit, let him play with Mike for a minute, maybe let Mike play off the ball, kind of what they were doing with Andrew Harrison a little bit last year, and then let Tyreke run the second unit shooting guard with Andrew Harrison as the point guard. So I would be very happy with that. I would love to see Tyreke and Mike play at least a few minutes at the end of the first, few minutes at the end of the third, every game together and just kind of see what happens.
I am excited about the idea of Tyreek as the sixth man, and I agree. Zach Randolph's gone. You need a sixth man. Here comes Tyreek Evans. I think that's a good natural fit for him. When you say that Tyreek doesn't drive as much, you're right, and I think that's part of the health concerns and health issues. Do you see him, because more and more, you know, we've kind of floated the idea, well, what is his position? I don't think he necessarily has a position as much as he's just a wing player that's going to be expected to contribute in a variety of ways. But I really see him as that, like I said, Swiss Army knife, can do a little bit of everything, and he can play every position on the perimeter and fit. His game feels very malleable to me. He can play alongside Mike and allow him to play off the ball. He can play and get Troy Daniels open shots. Troy Daniels can't create for himself, but Tyreek Evans can create for him. So I just really think that signing is a big one for Memphis. And, you know, if they can stay healthy, again, that's the line here, that they should be able to compete in the Western Conference. And that kind of leads to what we'll be wrapping up here with Mark King at King_producer. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. Just coming home from Las Vegas. I appreciate him spending time with us here on GBB Live. Couple more things here, Mark. First, you know, people are already starting to do their already too early Western Conference projections. I believe Matt Moore had the Grizzlies as like the fourth, fifth, or sixth seed in the conference. Other people don't see the Grizzlies winning more than 36 games. There's still some work to be done. Jamichael Green likely, hopefully, signing back with Memphis for a good cost. Tony Allen probably gone, and maybe there's a trade on the horizon. They're going to have to do something with the roster because there's too many people on it at the moment. You look at this team, and you look at the Western Conference, obviously Jimmy Butler in Minnesota, Paul George with the Thunder, Chris Paul with Houston, Hayward leaves Utah. There's a lot of moving and shaking out West, and it's only gotten tougher. I'm still of the thought, Mark, that if this team can stay, if this team's healthy, they can compete for a 4 or 5 seed. But even if one of them, especially, you know, a Parsons or somebody like that, isn't quite right, a 7 or 8 seed still isn't impossible, and that's kind of where they were last year. So how do you see things after the initial blitz of free agency? Again, there's still people out there, still moves that could potentially happen. But, you know, settling in now after the first big wave hits, where do you see the Grizzlies kind of fitting in the Western Conference?
Yeah, I think we were hanging out at a bunch of writers a couple nights ago. We had this very discussion, and I think I had the Grizzlies at 6 for the Western Conference this year. And I know we always say the health thing, but I take into account that right now, as it stands right now, everybody's healthy. It's the off season, so that's why I'm going to kind of analyze the roster and analyze where they might finish. So I had them at either 6. Right now, you know, I have Houston Thunder up there at 4 and Minnesota at 5. So, you know, I think those three teams are kind of going to be all fighting for those three spots in there, right there in that mix. And so I don't think it's crazy to think they would be able to grab the 6th seed and maybe move up to the 4th seed in this situation with the people that have on the roster. And with Chandler Parsons coming, with Chandler Parsons actually playing, obviously that's a big F. We all know his injury concerns, but right now he seems to be healthy. So that's how I'm going to evaluate it. And so if you have all those things fall in place, it's not crazy to think that they can get up and get the 4 seed. You know, like you said, they are going to have to do something with the roster. They have potentially 16 or 17 people under contract, and that just doesn't work because that's too many people. And they still have that one two-way contract left, which I would probably peg Brooks or Rab for, but they want to do something. But like I said, if everything stays like they should, and right now I have no reason to think it wouldn't. There's no reason to think they can't get up there and play for a top seed.
It's massively important that they stay competitive as they try to rebuild, and that's what Chris Wallace is trying to do. He's looking for pieces like a Ben McLemore, you know, the John Hollinger idea from his days back in ESPN, and obviously works for the Grizzlies front office now. And Chris Harrington has talked about this, the second draft. You know, the idea of, okay, Ben McLemore's leaving the Kings. The Kings were a mess. He had 4 different head coaches in his 3 or 4 years there. Complete disaster. Memphis, even with Zach Randolph, likely Tony Allen, and Vince Carter gone, they still have a solid veteran locker room, Mike Conley and Marc Gasol. It's their team. He comes into a more stable situation with a player development coach like David Fizdale, who puts players in positions to succeed. Conley last year, see Gasol last year. I think that there's, you know, high upside there, and when you don't have the resources, when you don't have draft picks, you kind of have to take those swings, and I think that they've done that with McLemore, and I've already talked about Evans and how high I am on him. I currently have the Grizzlies fit. I think OKC will be the 4 seed. I think that's pretty much a home run. Minnesota will certainly be in the mix. I'm curious to see how Jeff Teague and all those new pieces kind of fit around Karl Anthony Towns, but it obviously still can. And then you got Denver with Paul Millsap now out there, and obviously the Clippers have Blake Griffin back, and they just signed Danilo Gallinari, so I think the Clippers will be pretty solid, and Portland's still hanging around, and you know, there's a lot of teams in the West that are going to be competing for those bottom 4 or 5 playoff seeds. You know, Warriors are pretty locked in, Spurs are pretty locked in, Rockets are pretty locked in, and I think you can argue OKC as well. But beyond that, you're looking at 4 spots and maybe 7 or 8 teams competing for them. Somebody's going to be left out in the cold. Mark King, we're finishing up with Mark. He is our GBB video editor, also does great work for SB Nation NBA. Again, make sure you're following him if you don't already do so, at King_producer. We'll get you out of here on this, Mark. Kind of going back to Summer League, your days in Vegas, and I know you talked about Vegas winning. We'll ask you that before you head out. The question of the day was, which Grizzlies roster holdover playing in Vegas will help Memphis the most in the future? About 200 folks voted. Thanks to everybody who participated in the poll of the day. And it's amazing, Mark. Deontay Davis was second place with 9%. Jarrell Martin and Wade Baldwin both finished tied with 4%. Wayne Seldon Jr. is at 83%, the winner of this poll. And there's already a lot of wings on this Grizzlies roster. Do you, and it kind of comes full circle with our earlier conversation, do you see Wayne Seldon being a rotation player for the Memphis Grizzlies this coming season?
Yeah, I mean, I voted in that poll. I voted for Wayne Seldon. So, yeah, I think that Wayne is probably the most important. He's clearly the one that he is an actual quality NBA player right now in the NBA, and he's a role player. And so I think I said this quite a bit while I was out in Summer League, but it's like, you know, he's out there playing against people that should not be in the NBA. And so if there's a time where Wayne Seldon just – if he just didn't look good out there, didn't score anything, then that's when you should be concerned, because he's playing against guys that aren't going to be on NBA rosters, and he's a quality NBA player. So beyond that, you know, I don't really – you know, I don't really agree with Deontay Davis. I think people like the idea of Deontay. I think people like the idea that he's this awesome defensive player and shot blocker and rebounder and all this other stuff. And he is a good defender. And he is a average or above average rebounder. But, you know, I'm not sure that he's an important person in the for the Grizzlies roster. I think the second most important for the roster is Wade Baldwin. And to see just what happened with that backup.
Sounds like you're still in Vegas.
No, I'm in the car with the family riding home. So, no, not yet. But no, the second most important person on the roster is definitely Wade Baldwin.
Wade Baldwin, I would agree. I think that Deontay Davis, like you said, still a little ways away. I certainly am not willing to give up on him yet. Neither are you, it sounds like. But in terms of the here and now, it's Wayne Seldon and Wade Baldwin. I appreciate your time, Mark. I know you've been away from your family and your kids. Tell them hello for us, and thank you so much for all you've done for GBB the past few days. Get some rest, will you? I heard Las Vegas was kind of tough on you.
Yeah, you know, I took on Vegas a couple nights, and they won just about every night. Although I only come down come back down $60. So for me, that's a huge win. For my wife, she said she thinks that's a huge win as well. You know, the kids seem to think that too. So for everybody, it was fun being out there. There's a lot of games that get played out there all at once. You know, everybody gets out there. It's a lot of basketball, but it's a whole lot of fun. It's a chance to get to see a lot of the young guys in the NBA, not just the Grizzlies, but across all the NBA, to kind of see what they might be and what the future of the NBA could be, you know, 6-7 years from now. So it was a ton of fun. I had fun doing it. And we'll do it again next year.
You got a front row seat to the future of the Memphis Grizzlies. That's pretty cool. And he is one of GBB's own. Mr. Mark King, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the time with the family, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark King. There he goes, GBB video editor. He does work for SB Nation NBA. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at King_producer. Great segment there. We're finishing up here on this week's episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax. Before we go, I do want to make that announcement that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Hopefully you're listening to the You Like Hoops podcast after this show, if you haven't already listened to it. Our great host, Chase Lucas, does a tremendous job. And in the off season, you know, again, it's about pursuing different audiences, bringing different people into the GBB community. He did an episode of his podcast called You Like Food, and his guest was Kelly English, world-renowned chef, and that's not an over-exaggeration. He's remarkable. When I lived in Memphis, I ate at Restaurant Iris, and it was delicious with my wife. He has the Second Line, which is a great restaurant down there as well, with sandwiches, po' boys, and things like that. Awesome chef. It was a great podcast. Chase Lucas's You Like Hoops, and again, kind of tentative with the hoops in the off season. But the reason I mentioned that podcast, aside from you should listen to it if you haven't already, is our GBB network is growing. It's adapting. It's not just GBB Live anymore. We now have Chase's podcast. We hope to add other shows as the season approaches. We need a new look. We need a new branding for our network here. Everything says GBB Live, and I love GBB Live, obviously, but at the same time, we're growing. So we need help, and I am asking you, our loyal listeners, loyal followers, loyal GBB community members, to help us out if you have artistic ability. We need designs for a brand new logo for our GBB podcast network, and we hope that you will submit those designs to us. The winning designer will give this about 2 or 3 weeks here, probably to the, July 28th or so, that Friday, right towards the end of the month. You'll have 2 weeks. We'll take submissions at my email address, mullinaxjoe@gmail.com. You send those ideas, or you can tweet them at us, at GBB Live, to us, and we will choose the best one, and the winning designer is going to get 2 tickets to the opening night game for the Memphis Grizzlies this coming season. So we are looking for designers. We're looking for artists. We're looking for Photoshoppers. We're looking for the very best to help us create our new logo for our GBB network so that people know that, yeah, you can listen to GBB Live, but you can also listen to You Like Hoops. You can listen to our other shows. It's not just GBB Live. We need a new look, and hopefully you will help us with that. So again, we'll start that contest today and tonight, wherever you may be listening, and it'll go through July 28th. So make sure you're getting your submissions in so you can be able to be eligible for those 2 opening night tickets for the Memphis Grizzlies 2017-2018 campaign. Thank you so much to Mark King for being my guest. Thank you so much for listening wherever you are, wherever you may be, however you may be tuning in, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, however, through the blog itself, grizzlybearblues.com. Make sure you're checking out all our great content. We've had new writers come on in the past couple of days. Writing about Tyreek Evans, the silver lining of Zach Randolph leaving, those sorts of things. Make sure you're tuning in, checking out the site. Thank you so much, as always, for making us a part of your Grizzlies fan experience. We'll be back again next week recording another show. Maybe there's some headway with Tony Allen, Jermichael Green, and their free agency situations. I'm sure we'll talk about the Summer League tournament and how things wind up going for the Grizzlies. All sorts of different stuff to cover as we continue through the off season. Until next time, thank you so much again for tuning in. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, subbing in solo for Brandon Connor this week. Hopefully Brandon's back next week. Thank you again for listening. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.